I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about an initiative to save Hoosiers from one of the most common forms of cancer, skin cancer. We're going to talk about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway's partnership with Outrun the Sun, a nonprofit dedicated to defeating melanoma, and Outrun the Sun's efforts to beat skin cancer. I'll be joined for the conversation by Anita Day, the Outrun the Sun Executive Director, Dr. Keeter Sechrist, the organization's Board President, and Doug Bowles, President of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Please join the discussion. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about skin cancer and Outrun the Sun's efforts to combat it. Here on No Limits today, you can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, Twitter is WFYI, and email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Well, my guests are Anita Day, who is Outrun the Sun's Executive Director, Dr. Keeter Sechrist, who's the President of the Outrun the Sun Board of Directors, and we'll be joined shortly by Doug Bowles, who is the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you all here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Certainly. Tell me a little bit about what Outrun the Sun is and how it got started. Anita, I'll start with you.
Sure. Outrun the Sun is a nonprofit organization. We were founded right here in Indianapolis, and we support skin cancer education and melanoma research, and we do this for good reason. Skin cancer is the most prevalent cancer in America. More than 3 million cases are diagnosed annually, and it is highly preventable. So we want to educate the community and build awareness about this disease, and then also fund research to create better treatments and a cure for melanoma.
And let's talk a little bit, Dr. Sechrist. I'm going to force you to wear two hats here. One is the doctor hat, and the other is the board president hat.
I'm happy to do both.
Okay. I'm going to start with the doctor thing and talk a little bit about, you know, what skin cancer is and, you know, what causes it.
Well, there are actually three forms of skin cancer. And like Anita said, there are over 3 million cases of all kinds of skin cancer in the United States this year. When I started practice 30 years ago, there were 400,000 cases in the United States. So it is an epidemic. We believe that for all three forms of skin cancer, which are basal cell carcinoma, the most common type, squamous cell carcinoma, which is the second most common type, and then melanoma, which is the most deadly type, they all seem to have been impacted by our exposure to ultraviolet radiation. And we believe that although the sun is a big source of that and indoor tanning has been the big difference in the last 30 years.
Is it exclusively that? I mean, from 400,000 to 3 million is a huge jump.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking almost tenfold there, at least eightfold. What accounts for that? It can't all be tanning beds, I would think.
Well, there doesn't seem to be anything else that has dramatically changed. And unfortunately, when you're talking about the sun and tanning beds, you're talking about radiation. And I think when people go to tanning beds or go sunbathe, they don't think of it in those terms. Radiation tends to be an accumulated damage that occurs to the skin. And so you may get your damage 25, 30 years ago, and then the cancer will show up many years later. And so while you're getting your damage, you don't recognize that that's what's happening. And it doesn't have to be just a sunburn. A tan is also damage. Mm-hmm. And it impacts the DNA of your skin cells. And at some point, the DNA begins to be altered to a point where it begins to form these different forms of skin cancer. There probably are other factors that we really can't identify, but the big one is UV radiation.
We are talking about Outrun the Sun and Outrun the Sun's efforts to combat skin cancer here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can tweet us at WFYI, or you can do what Michael did, a listener named Michael, and find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. He says, happy to hear this program. Dr. Sechrist is my dermatologist for over 10 years. She and her nurse practitioner have removed more basal and squamous cell lesions from my hide than I can count, but I am cancer-free for now, and he puts an exclamation point on it. I've known several people younger than me who died from melanoma, so it's something to be very aware of. Too bad we didn't have the sunscreens available when I was a kid, plus living in Arizona and Florida for years didn't help. So that sets things up, and I'm going to throw this one to Anita. I'm assuming that part of what Outrun the Sun does is try to educate people about ways that they can avoid, you know, the damage that ultraviolet rays can do to, or radiation can do to people. Can you talk a little bit about ways people might be able to combat this so that they don't have to lean on the treatment of Dr. Sechrist, as nice as she is?
Absolutely. Education is key, and prevention is the way to, to not get skin cancer. So there are ways. There's certainly sunscreen, okay? You know, what we don't tell people, you need to stay indoors. We want people to be active and outdoors and enjoy themselves. But there are safe ways to do it. So if you're out running, you know, biking, swimming, gardening, what have you, grab the sunscreen, okay? We recommend, the American Academy of Dermatology really recommends an SPF factor of 30 or higher that protects against both UVA and UVB rays. It's called a broad-spectrum sunscreen. A lot of people, though, do not like sunscreens, or they might be allergic to the ingredients in sunscreens. So there are other ways. You can wear sun protective clothing. There are several manufacturers out there now that provide sunscreen within really the fabric, a sun protective factor within the fabric of the clothing. So you can wear those. You know, lightweight long sleeves or pants. Always wear hats. You know, you need to protect your scalp. You know, the hair doesn't
particularly
always
for those of us who are follically challenged. Yes,
and those of us who aren't. I personally have had basal cell skin cancer on my head, and obviously the hair doesn't protect it. So hats, and then sunglasses as well, because you can get melanoma of the eye. So always, you know, wear the sunglasses that protect against UVA and UVB rays as well. And, you know, think about being active, you know, later in the day as opposed to right at noon or early afternoon, late morning. You know, be very cautious between the hours of, you know, 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. And think about being active a little later in the day.
We are talking about skin cancer and Outrun the Sun here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Art, welcome to the program.
Greetings.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to ask, I was told by a chemistry student some years ago that the cancer, skin cancer, occurs when, first of all, the ultraviolet radiation destroys or impairs the suicide gene that resides with any cell in the body, in the skin cell. And but then once the suicide gene has been taken out, then when it also similarly impairs the growth control gene, then growth of malignant cells is uncontrolled, and that is cancer. That's the definition of cancer, uncontrolled growth. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thanks very much for the call.
If that's the case, then maybe we ought to provide more detailed information for kids in the schools, graphic on a screen, electronic board, that would to show them pictures of people as they progress and show, you know, the molecular dynamics of it all.
Thanks very much for the call and the comment, and I will let Anita get to that. Thanks, Art.
We appreciate that. And you raise a great point about educating kids. You know, we try to reach young children, as young as we can, to teach them about the importance of being sun safe. One of the great programs that we developed a number of years ago was a sun safety curriculum that is now used in the summer youth camps within YMCA. And so here in central Indiana now, you know, thousands of young kids ages 3 to 16 have learned about sun safety and the importance and, you know, why they should protect their skin when they are at camp at the YMCA. So we do, you know, reach out through groups like that, you know, other partnerships that we have that reach youth. So it's very important to teach kids early on.
Is there a chance? I mean, I know we're going to probably get this question at some point. I mean, people have been living and working outdoors for millennia. We've seen an explosion, you know, as Dr. Sechrist pointed out, that it's an epidemic now. I mean, it sounds like, by my math, in a country of 300 million people, if 3 million of them are diagnosed, that means, you know, 1 in 100 is happening to. Is some of the problem that it was underdiagnosed in previous eras, that we didn't recognize it, or are there other environmental things that are going on that might account for this?
I think it certainly was underdiagnosed, and I'm sure that the exposure to health care makes a difference. But I think also the lifestyle in the 20th century is a lot different than the lifestyle in the past. There are a lot more people who are indoor workers that then have free time, and they choose to spend their free time traveling to Florida, traveling to Arizona, getting in the sun, going to the beach, and they get very intense amounts of radiation during those periods. And we talk about the tan and the burn. When we see people who work outdoors for a living, we tend to see a different pattern of skin cancer than the people who don't. So we're really seeing melanoma more in the office worker who goes and receives severe sunburns.
Scorches himself or herself.
Blistering burns.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a higher risk factor for melanoma, whereas basal cell and squamous cell seem to be more in the people who are chronically exposed to the sun all the time. Now, that's not to say that all UVA radiation increases the incidence of all those skin cancers. So, but it does seem that the burn is more important in terms of risk.
And I've been remiss in that. Could you walk us through what the difference is between basal, squamous, and melanoma?
Sure. So when you look at the skin, there are three cells. There's the basal cell, there's a melanocyte, and then there's a squamous cell. And they each, when they behave properly, are critical to our skin health. But when the UVA radiation affects their DNA and they begin to grow uncontrollably, as the previous caller mentioned, then one of those three cells will begin to grow in an uncontrollable way, and they form a lesion, which can look very different. So, for instance, basal cells, when they become cancer, usually you'll see a pink. I can't tell you how many people come in and said, I thought it was a pimple, a pink bump that just won't go away. Mm-hmm. And then if it's a squamous cell, typically it almost looks like a wart, but it's tender sometimes and quite red.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a melanoma, it's typically a pigmented lesion that's changing, that's expanding, that's itching. And, you know, we refer to the ABCDEs of melanoma, so I should mention those.
Yeah, please.
A stands for asymmetry, where one half doesn't look like the other. B stands for border irregularity. C stands for color variability, so different colors within the same mole.
Mm-hmm.
D stands for a diameter greater than the end of a pencil eraser, which is about 6 millimeters.
Mm-hmm.
And E stands for evolving, and that's probably the most important. If it's a lesion that is changing in any way, I think it's important that it be checked.
And you say melanoma is the deadliest, obviously,
yes,
of those three,
yes.
The most dangerous.
Yes.
Of those 3 million people, how many of them will be diagnosed with melanoma this year?
Well, probably around 9,000 will die. and of melanoma, and I'm trying to think of what the actual number would be.
I think it's reaching about 115,000, 120,000 people a year. And as Dr. Segrist said...
So a pretty good-sized city every year.
Exactly, exactly. And one American dies of melanoma every hour.
Yeah.
It's a significant problem that's becoming more significant, and it should be getting less significant. So we're working on it.
We are talking about skin cancer and Outrun the Sun here on No Limits. My guests are Anita Day, who is the Outrun the Sun Executive Director, and Dr. Keeter Segrist, who's the President of the Board. We'll be joined shortly by Doug Bowles, who's the President of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about skin cancer and Outrun the Sun, a not-for-profit that's dedicated to combating skin cancer. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what these two listeners did and connect with us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. This is a Facebook question comment from a listener named Susan. Says, thank you for this program. I have two questions. Should someone that wears sun protective clothing and use sunscreen take a vitamin D supplement? And is there any research being done to see if there is a relationship between toxicity from food additives and other unhealthy diets building up in our systems and reacting with the UV radiation? Dr. Segrist, I think that's probably above everybody else's pay grade here, so we'll throw that
okay,
one to
so,
you.
To answer your question, yes, yeah. I think that people who are very good sun protectors should be taking supplemental vitamin D. And what people often don't think about, people of dark skin coloring should absolutely be taking some supplemental vitamin D. They simply don't absorb enough or get enough exposure to UV radiation to most of those patients don't because of their skin coloring. And they are at some risk to having low vitamin D levels, and it can impact certainly for sure their bone health. There are other benefits to vitamin D that they're studying, but certainly vitamin D supplementation is important.
And then the second part of her question is there any research being done to see if there's a relationship between toxicity and from food additives and other unhealthy diets building up in our systems and reacting with UV radiation?
I'm not really aware of any. There could be, but I am not aware of any. I know that there's a lot of research being done with vitamin D in particular, but other food additives and things like that, I don't really know.
And then we've also gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Robin, who says, how do we get to the high school kids who read ads in their school newspapers for tanning salons and who all want to get tanned for prom to understand what they're doing to themselves? I feel they should be scared into an understanding of the risk by being shown the sometimes disfiguring results of skin cancer surgery. Anita.
Mm. Robin brings up an excellent point. We live in a society where, attractive means being tan and thin, and, everyone has this perception of what beauty is. And, as an organization, we are trying to change young people's minds in terms of helping and encouraging them to feel comfortable in their own skin. What we usually tell students is that, you were born with a certain color of skin, and that's the color of skin that you are supposed to have. One of the programs where we're really, implementing this type of information is with Girls on the Run International. It's an organization that reaches hundreds of thousands of young girls in the United States and Canada. And, from third grade through eighth grade, and it's a crucial time for young girls of that age to have self-esteem and feel that self-worth and value. And so we work with Girls on the Run to teach them You don't have to change yourselves. You don't have to be, you know, darker than you typically are. So it's a tough situation for us because we're trying to change public perception, and you know, we're one of the only cancers that kind of is combated by people's thoughts about beauty.
Well, and I might add, there have been some studies done recently that suggest that our most effective way of getting to teenagers is to emphasize the fact that UV radiation creates premature aging, and to try to remind them that they too will age, and they would prefer to continue to look as young as they can. And that, I think, will probably have more impact than showing disfiguring scars, because most young people look at those and say, it won't happen to me.
Yeah, they think they're bulletproof.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Whereas in a youth-obsessed culture, the idea that you might grow old.
You might look old, yes.
You would not be the one who would avoid that process.
Yes, exactly.
Would not work. We are talking about skin cancer and the efforts of Outrun the Sun to combat it. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. We seem to have an abundance of Anitas here. We also have a listener named Anita who is calling in. What's your question, Anita? How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Great. What's on your mind?
Actually, I just had a quick comment. I'm an optician, actually. I work in Fishers, and I wanted to comment on sunglasses. I know you guys are talking more about cancer, but another reason it's really important to wear sunglasses that a lot of people don't realize is, UV damage to your retina, which contributes to age-related macular degeneration, which is actually the leading cause of blindness in Americans over 60 years old. It's like something that's not really talked about as much. Judi Dench actually has it. She can't read scripts anymore. But it's actually something where sunglasses, sun protection, that's really important for a number of reasons. The skin around your eyes, also your eyelids, it's very delicate. And going to your wrinkling comment, that skin will wrinkle very easily.
Yes.
So whenever I'm trying to talk teenage girls into wearing sunglasses, that's actually something I'll bring up. I'm like, no, you don't want crow's feet. macular degeneration, and also, kids, sunglasses are really important too, because we're more susceptible to UV when we are younger with, our eyes. And we also spend more time outside as kids. So kids in sunglasses, also very important.
Thank you very much for the call and the information, Anita.
Yes, thank you. One thing I would like to mention along those lines is that Outrun the Sun has been working with a researcher at the Glick Eye Institute, and he, studies those types of issues, including ocular melanoma. So we're pleased that she shared that information and brought that to the forefront.
And this probably would be a good time for us to talk about your news. I mean, the hook that brought you in here. You have a couple of events. One of them is this month, the partnership with the Speedway, and then one is next month. Anita, could you talk a little bit about the partnership with the Speedway?
Oh, absolutely. We are just truly thrilled to be working with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and want to thank them as well as people with the IndyCar Series, because we are going to be reaching a very large audience, a very important audience of race fans. Anyone who has been around Indianapolis or who has been around racing knows that race fans spend an inordinate amount of time out in the sun watching their favorite drivers. And so, as they're sitting there, we want them to think about staying safe in the sun. So what we're doing with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and IndyCar is throughout the month of May, we have public service announcements that are airing on the IMS radio network. We have public service announcements that will be broadcast on the video boards at IMS during the Indianapolis 500. We will have a print PSA in the Indy 500 program. We'll also have things going out on social media, as well as some of our volunteers will be on site there at the Indy 500 distributing ultraviolet wristbands that turn color when they're exposed to the sunlight. These remind race fans to be sun safe and put on the sunscreen. And then we also will have some sunscreen samples as well. And I want to kind of give a big thanks to our spokesperson, Joseph Newgarden. He's an IndyCar driver and just an excellent, excellent spokesperson for us, helping to reach out to race fans. He recognizes the importance of the sun safety message. So That's what we're doing.
And almost as if on cue, we have been joined now by Doug Bowles, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Doug, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Could you talk a little bit about why this partnership is important from IMS's perspective? What prompted you guys to enter into it?
Well, there's obviously a lot of great causes that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway could support, and we do support a lot of them, but there really isn't a cause like this one that impacts everybody that walks through our gates. And from the day we open all the way through the checkered flag of the Indianapolis 500, we are an outdoor event. We're an outdoor event in springtime when there's an awful lot of sunlight. And I can remember days when it was sort of a badge of honor to see how sunburned you could get at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And obviously we know now that that is not how we should be treating our time in the sun. And this is just one of those messages that is important to tell our fans. And like I said, it impacts everyone. There's not anybody that isn't exposed to the sun when they come to the Speedway. So it fits really well. Joseph Newgarden, a young, upcoming, fast IndyCar driver as a spokesperson, really makes working educate everybody on how important it is to make sure that they're protected from the sun all the time when they're out, but in particular when they're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
How did this partnership come about? I mean, who brokered it? You know, who set up the blind date, as it were, that brought you two swell folks together?
You know, it goes back several years, actually, when Outrun the Sun was just really started. You may have just had your first run, I think, when we had an opportunity to chat through a mutual friend and somebody that's really become an advocate of Outrun the Sun, David Morton. And we just started having a conversation. And when I had an opportunity to work at the Speedway, the conversation moved to that level. And then as David and the rest of the gang at Outrun the Sun told their story throughout our company, it was something that everybody said, you know what, this does make an awful lot of sense. So it's been 5 or 6, 7 years probably coming to this point.
So, right. We've done some other things throughout the years, but this is the biggest campaign by far. So
we are talking about skin cancer and Outrun the Sun's efforts to combat it. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or on Twitter at wfyi. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I wanted to ask about the role of genetics in skin cancer. I know my fiance and her family, they have a lot of red-haired, fair-skinned people in their family, and regardless of how much they protect themselves from the sun, I know my fiance's mother, you know, wears protective clothing outside all the time, long sleeves in the summer and all that kind of thing. She still gets melanomas and things like that from time to time. And I was just curious about how much skin cancer is caused by UV exposure and how much of it is caused by genetics and whether the genetic risk is increasing or decreasing as time goes on.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Scott. And I think, yeah. Dr. Sechrist, that's probably for you.
The genetics is very important, and when we are examining patients, we always ask about family history, and if you have a first-degree relative with melanoma, that increases your risk significantly. And so in your fiancé's case, she probably needs to be getting at least annual full-body exams, and by that I mean full-body exams. You know, I think a very thorough, from the tip of the head to the tip of the toes, looking everywhere, there is certainly increased risk. How much of the genetics plays in and how much of the UV exposure is always hard to separate because all of us are exposed, and even with our best sun protection, we still don't have the perfect block. I think the main thing is people who do have a family history really do need to be watching themselves closely and doing self-skin exams. Ideally, they would do it monthly and have their family members help them look at hard-to-see areas as well.
Are there certain, people who are more predisposed? You know, what are the signs? I mean, Scott made reference to, to fair-skinned, red hair.
Light eye color. Yes, those are three biggies. And people who burn easily are certainly at higher risk. But that does not mean that people who have dark skin aren't at risk. And I think we are seeing an increase in melanoma incidence in darker skin people, partly because I feel like they think they're protected. naturally protected. And in their incidence is lower than the light skin Caucasian, for sure. But sadly, when they develop melanoma, it often goes undetected, and their mortality rates are far higher than the Caucasians. The Caucasians, the light-skinned people, often catch theirs earlier, and of course, with anything, early detection is the key. Prevention's better.
When you say the mortality rates are much higher, how much higher are we?
Well, in the Hispanic community, their mortality rates are about 40%, I believe, higher than the Caucasian class. So, it's not so much that they have a higher incidence, although their incidence is going up a bit, but they're not being caught early enough. So,
Anita, we moved away. You have another event next month, too, that we should talk about as well.
We do. It's the Outrun the Sun Race Against Melanoma. It will take place on June 14th at Fort Harrison State Park. And this is the 10th annual Outrun the Sun Race Against Melanoma. We're very excited about it. It's an evening race, for obvious reasons, okay? We decided 10 years ago when we founded this organization that we couldn't very well invite people out during the hottest part of the day to run. So it's an evening event. It's a wonderful family-friendly event. We get people of all ages. It's we welcome people about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Races go off at 7. We have a 5-mile timed run, a 5K run walk, and a 1-mile fun walk. We have live music. We have refreshments. So it's just a whole kids zone. It's a lot of fun. And people can certainly register at our website, which is outrunthesun.org. We invite people. In fact, our spokesperson, Joseph Newgarden, has his own team. He'll be running. So if you are a runner, this is your chance to really beat Joseph, right? I don't know if he runs as fast as he drives.
I was going to say, maybe your only opportunity right. to beat Joseph, but exactly. one, therefore, not to be passed up. So if people, they go to the website, and if you could give the URL again, that would
be
a
good thing. It's outrunthesun.org.
Okay. Is there a registration fee?
There's yes, several. It depends on if you're doing the timed run or the walk. So it's, anywhere between $20 and $28. So there's something for everyone.
Okay. So $28 is the high end, and what's the low end?
I think it's $22. It depends on if you pre-register or if you're registering on site.
And where does the money go?
It goes to Outrun the Sun, the nonprofit mm-hmm. organization, and it helps fund our educational initiatives and our melanoma research programs.
Okay, and where are you spending in the melanoma research programs?
All over the country. Right here in Indianapolis at the Glick Eye Institute. We have a melanoma research scholar there. We have scholars at NYU, UC Irvine, Mayo Clinic, Harvard University, Kimmel Cancer Center. So we're reaching out to young melanoma investigators who can really get their studies up and running.
And Dr. Sechrist, is there hope for this in the sense that have we made strides not just in the prevention and the identification, but in actually treating these forms of skin cancer?
Yes, especially in melanoma in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been some amazing progress in treatment. But to be honest, 20 years prior to that, we had very little to offer. Now we have some targeted medications that are being approved. Still no cure, but it is certainly extending the life of some of our patients that would otherwise not be doing well at all.
And you identified earlier some of the warning signs for melanoma. I'm assuming that it's important for it to be caught quickly.
Yes, it is. And yeah. Often if it's caught early enough, surgical excision is the treatment and the cure. So the key is to catch it very early.
Surgical excision means that we remove it.
Correct.
Cut it out. Yeah.
I
don't
want
to.
Sorry.
I want to move us away from the doctor speak here, meta speak, as it were. We are talking about skin cancer and Outrun the Sun's efforts to combat it here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Anita Day, Outrun the Sun Executive Director, Dr. Keeter Sechrist, who's President of the Outrun the Sun Board of Directors, and Doug Bowles, President of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about skin cancer and Outrun the Sun's efforts to combat it in partnership with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. My guests are Anita Day, who is Outrun the Sun's executive director, Dr. Keeter Sechrist, president of the Outrun the Sun Board of Directors, and Doug Bowles, who's the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Margaret, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I am a melanoma survivor. I was diagnosed in the summer of 2000. My mother died 5 years later of squamous cell carcinoma on the top of her head. And I just encourage anybody who has the slightest little bitty tiny thing wrong with their skin to see the doctor, because that's why I have survived. Because I went and saw my doctor, and all it required for me was surgery. And I am just so thankful that you're talking about this, because this is so very, very important. I look what my mother went through, and then, it just is wonderful what you're talking about. And thank you very much for this marvelous, marvelous program.
Well, thank you very much.
It's just very important. I now go out. When I go out in the sun, I have a full hat and a long-sleeve shirt and long pants. I don't go out unprotected at all. I can't use sunscreen. So I have clothing. I mean, I walk two of the Outrun the Sun 5Ks.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you, Margaret.
Yes.
Thanks very much for the call, and thank you for sharing your story, Margaret. Well, how many of those kinds of conversations do you have during the course of a day, Anita, of people telling you?
They're not uncommon.
Yeah.
And Margaret brings up an excellent, excellent point that I'd like to reiterate, and Dr. Sechrist can speak to this better as well. But, you know, people often think that skin cancer is, you know, just skin cancer, and you don't have to worry about it. You can get it removed, go on your merry way. You know, and in many cases, that can be true. Generally speaking, basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas don't progress to a point where they do become dangerous. But as Margaret said, if you do leave them undetected and untreated, certainly they can be very serious, not only requiring extensive surgeries, but in some cases they can take your life. The percentages of those are relatively small, but it does happen. And so these are the kinds of messages that people need to be hearing, that you do need to take skin cancer seriously.
Is that a message, Doug, that race fans in general have been receptive to hearing?
You know, this is really the first year we've taken it to this level, so I think this year we're going to find that out. But it is one that they certainly should pay attention to, and I think this is a great format, especially as people on Memorial Day weekend start thinking about summer, thinking about getting outside, especially after this winter, right? So the opportunity for the Outrun the Sun team to be at our gates as our fans come in and remind them that it's a long day. And oftentimes our fan, I don't think, realizes at a cloudy day how exposed they can be to it. So just making sure that they understand. You know, I'll tell you, as a parent now, in particular, it concerns me even more. I've had my issues in terms of being in the sun, and my wife and I are pretty good about making sure that we don't have anything. But we're really extra careful now with our kids and learning what we know about that first sunburn and how that begins to plant those seeds. So again, I think this is an opportunity for our fans to also start thinking about when they're bringing their kids, protecting their kids as well, and setting those patterns in place so that as they get older, they're not out hanging out in the sun trying to see how red they can get.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten several email questions, and if you would like to reach out to us via email, you can do so by sending it to nolimits@wfyi.org. Email from a listener named Elizabeth touches on Doug's point about the long winter. The majority of people living in Indiana are vitamin D deficient. Research has proven that vitamin D deficiency also can be a contributor to cancer as well as a whole host of other chronic health issues. The sun is the very best source to enable the body to produce this very important vitamin. I try to spend 20 minutes a day in the sun without sunscreen, despite the fact that I, too, at 52 years young, have had basal and squamous cell lesions removed from my body. By your estimation, is 20 minutes of exposure a day to catch up on vitamin D after a long, long winter too much for your taste? Dr. Sechrist, I think we're going to aim that one to you.
Well, I think I have a predictable response. Yes, it's too much. I would favor oral supplementation of vitamin D. And I agree vitamin D is extremely important, but I think there are safer ways to get your vitamin D than through sun exposure.
Okay. We've gotten another email question from a listener named Chris who says, so thrilled to hear this topic on the air. Dr. Sechrist is our family dermatologist. We have a family history of melanoma, and protection is so important. How many people do you treat?
There's a lot of skin cancer out there, let me tell you.
Was pleased a few years ago to visit Holiday World and see free sunscreen dispensers all over the park. Seems like having greater access to sunscreen in public places is important. How can we get this done? As a mom of three kids, I do my best to remember to bring the sunscreen, but usually in the midst of rushing out the door, we always forget something. Sure would be nice if it was easier to access in public places. Anita.
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference. And that's why, you know, we're working with groups like Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, as I mentioned, we'll have volunteers out there during the Indianapolis 500 with sunscreen. So we'll have big vats of sunscreen that people can use if they forgot the sunscreen. And I know they can purchase it as well while they are there on site. But, you know, I think through education, it's important to, just keep reminding people this is what you need to do. You need to remember the sunscreen. And then we're trying to make ourselves available as much as we can at different venues, with sunscreen just in case they've forgotten it.
And then another email from a listener named Teresa who says, has two questions. First, is there a danger in using sunscreen 7 days a week due to the chemicals involved in the sunscreen itself? Dr. Sechrist, I'll let you answer the first one, and then I'll come to the second.
We haven't really seen any problems with that, using it regularly. I know there's controversy for sure, and I think for those people who have concerns about the chemicals, there are sunscreens we consider physical sunscreens that contain combination of titanium dioxide and zinc oxide that are non-chemical. So if there are concerns about that, though, we haven't seen any good research to indicate that there's a problem. You can certainly use those physical types of sunscreens safely.
Okay. And then her second question is, how much vitamin D should we be taking daily? There seems to be a disagreement about how much is good for you to take.
Yeah, I think that it depends on whether you're starting deficient or not. And certainly if you are deficient, that's something they can test for and then indicate the appropriate supplementation level. Overall, we think 700 units daily should be enough. Most women of my age, anyway, take calcium with vitamin D supplement in it. And typically that's 600 and per tablet. And usually you're taking two. So somewhere in the 600 to 1,200 should be adequate for people who have normal levels. If there's some concern about being deficient, then that should be checked with your physician, and then the recommendation can be made based on your deficiency.
And we've also gotten an email question from a listener named Judy, who, I'm going to paraphrase it here, says, we focused an awful lot on people, but she's clearly a pet lover, dogs and cats, and wants to know, is this a concern for the animals she loves as well?
Oh, a veterinarian would be better.
Better for this.
But I know they get melanoma. I don't know if it's as aggressive as it is in humans, but I do know that they do get melanoma and other skin cancers too.
So they probably, the pets ought to be checked too.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit then about, with this new partnership, what constitutes success? I mean, what are you looking to get out of this? And I'm going to ask it from both sides. What you think would be a successful outcome from the fact that you're working together? I'll start with Anita.
Well, clearly fewer sunburns on race day and during qualifications. And I think, you know, if we can get back to some of the fans and really kind of measure you know, did you see the messages? How often did you see the messages? Did you listen to the messages? How did you respond? Did you change your behaviors? Did you have sunscreen with you? Did you come prepared to the track? So, you know, we're having discussions about putting some of those follow-ups in place. So, you know, this is like just our first step, as we mentioned, first year for this program. And, you know, we want to see kind of where people are starting with their sun safety habits and then make sure that they're improved as time goes on, you know, in subsequent years.
How will you be able to check that? I promise, Doug, I will ask you what constitutes success from your end, too.
I'm happy to be listening. This is
okay,
great.
Okay.
I think that will be up to Doug, is how we can reach back out to the race fans, you know, in different means, and how we can do that, because we want to hear from them as well.
Okay. Doug.
So I think a success from our standpoint is we've got this great platform. We have 300,000 plus people who show up on race day, and we've never really used it other than from a sales standpoint. How do we sell more tickets? How do we leverage it for sponsors? And this is a great opportunity for us to communicate a message to our fan that's really important, use the platform, and to Anita's point, let's see how receptive they are and how much do they notice. We do scientific post-event studies after every event, and some of the questions we ask are, what did you notice when you came in the gates? Or were there any messages that impacted you? So we'll be able to tell and track after that event what people were impacted by. Did they notice if there was education throughout Run the Sun? Did they pick up the suntan lotion? Those are sun protection. So that's the kind of thing that I think will allow us to be able to see if it's been successful. But really more for me, we've got this great platform, and you know, Mark Miles has come in and really allowed us to do a lot of different things. And this is a great opportunity to give back throughout Run the Sun something that's important to our fan in a place that everybody there is exposed to the sun.
Is this part of a kind of repositioning of IMS and the 500? You know, as you say, the focus generally was just how many people can we put in the seats? We want to make sure they have a really good time while they're there. Now you're talking about, you know, using it as a platform to bring information that could be helpful. Are you thinking differently of the event and the mission of IMS?
Well, we obviously want to get as many people to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we can get there, and we want them all to have a good time. So that's very, very important. But part of what's important about it is we want them to feel like they got some value, the experience was better, and frankly, the experience is better when you're at home that evening and you're not sunburned, staying awake at night because you're chilling because you've been in the sun too long. So these are things that fit with that overall fan experience, and this is a great opportunity for us to start some good habits with some of our fans, as well as allow them to enjoy their car ride home, not have to roll the window up because their arm's too burned, and a lot of those things. So I think it just really fits very well with the platform we have, and it does help the overall experience for us.
So then let's not wait then for people to get to IMS, to get to the Speedway on the day of the race, and then find out all of the things that they should have been doing before mm-hmm. they got into the car to go there. Mm-hmm. Anita and Dr. Sechrist, walk me through, if you're going to have a good, fun, healthy race day at the Speedway, what should you be doing? How should you prepare for that experience?
Well, I think we start with a sunscreen that has a SPF of 30 or greater, that is labeled broad spectrum, and it's applied about 15 minutes before you get out in the sun. 30 is ideal, but any time will take. You make sure that it's not a spray, because sprays don't go on evenly, and you will burn in certain spots and not others. And it would be good to have a broad-brimmed hat, sunglasses, long sleeves, and you can be comfortable even if you are sitting directly in the sun all day long. And if you do that, I think you've got to reapply the sunscreen in the sun-exposed areas about every 2 hours. And you must not forget that, or you will likely burn eventually.
And in terms of the long sleeves and all of that, I'm presuming, you know, can you wear shorts or...
Well,
is that
the thighs will get burned. All of us have been there, where we sit in a seat for a long time and you forget your thighs. So long pants would be good, but if not, sunscreen on the thighs every 2 hours.
And Doug, is the Speedway going to be communicating this sort of information ahead of the race to race fans?
So we're going to be communicating to our fans as they get there through practice, through messaging, through our PA and on our video boards. So we will be doing that leading up to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, or the Indianapolis 500. One of the things that we always deal with as we lead into, the local media begins to look at the weather, and then if it's going to be hot, what are some of the things mm-hmm. that folks need to hydrate, you know, all those messages. So this will be something that is in that message, in those message points as we lead into the Indianapolis 500, when we're saying, what do you need to do when you get here? Can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
A UV question. You just mentioned sunglasses. So I'm a contact wearer, and my contacts say they have UV protection in them. Do I still need sunglasses?
If it's both UVA and UVB, it's okay. But okay. I would still wear sunglasses.
Yeah, it's belt suspenders kind of thing.
Yeah, can't exactly. Really
absolutely.
Doubly protected yep. there. So in terms of, you are going to be then doing media blasts, basically, to communicate this information. That's got to be somewhat gratifying to you, Anita, that seems to me to be one of the major benefits of the partnership for
you. It's a huge benefit, yes. IMS clearly has a very large reach, lots of fans out there, and so we're truly appreciative that they've really taken the lead on this. You know, IMS and IndyCar, they're really showing great leadership in terms of the racing industry and stepping out and helping their fans become sun safe. So we're thrilled with this partnership.
How many volunteers are you going to have out there on race day? We talk about a crowd of 300,000 people.
Right.
You can get lost in that.
And they are
easily.
Going to be busy volunteers. we'll have about 40 people stationed out there at for the main entrance points at the gates. So through a combination of our on-site program with the volunteers out there, and then, as Doug mentioned, the PA announcements, the video boards, the print, you know, PSAs, you know, people should be hearing the messages and seeing the activity. You know, one quick thing I want to remind people about their sunscreen. You know, we've been talking about this all day. Check the expiration date on mm-hmm. your sunscreen, because it does expire. And when that happens, the active ingredients aren't active anymore. So sometimes the expiration date is difficult to find on some of the sunscreen tubes, but look for it. And we always, you know, tell people that if you bought your tube of sunscreen last summer and you still have it, A, it's probably expired, and B, you probably didn't wear enough of it last summer. So check that out. Look for the expiration date.
And we've got just a little bit of time left. Could you give everyone your URL and tell them again real quickly about the race, the Outrun the Sun, on June 14th?
Absolutely. It's the Outrun the Sun Race Against Melanoma. It's Saturday evening, June 14th. We have a 5-mile timed run, 5K run walk, and a 1-mile family fun walk. This is a very family-friendly event. We invite you to come out to Fort Harrison. You can register now at outrunthesun.org.
And that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, Anita Day, Dr. Keeter Sechrist, and Doug Bowles. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.